First of all, I just want to say it is extremely difficult for me to separate this section from the next one. This section will be about self. It will be about self-rejection. And it is very difficult to speak about that and not mention the rejection of others. So just bear with me on that as we go through that. But first, just a few things that I said last week if you weren't in here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul talks about how we are spirit, soul, and body. What our spirit is sanctified to the Lord, and that is where the Holy Spirit dwells. Like I said, this could be a whole different lesson. Our soul is our mind, will, and our emotions. This is where we need help sometimes, right? This is where we struggle. This is where we have the oppression of the enemy that messes with us. Sometimes this is where we have somebody will say something like, "Did you have a good day today?" And you fly off the handle just because they didn't say it correctly. This is that place in the soul. Our body is redeemed, or it will be redeemed. We are fighting through stuff, but yet God has promised healing, right? So that's just really quickly where I'm going as far as that. There are three levels of rejection in three different areas. It is from God. That is what I talked about last week. Self and others. And those are the three things that I'll be discussing. And I just want to read this quote one more time. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that declares we are loved. That was Henry Nouwer that said that. So I talked about last week how our identity is simply we are His children. Our purpose is to love Him, and our mission is to carry Him. We carry His presence. We carry who He is. All right. Now, self-rejection. One of the ways, I'm just going to hit on this quickly, one of the ways that we walk in self-rejection is comparing ourselves to others. That is one way. And I don't really need to go into that. I think that we all know what that is. I think that we all have to guard ourselves in that. The condemnation is the fear of rejection. And you know, condemnation, condemn, means to express an unfavorable or adverse judgment on, to pronounce to be guilty, sentence to punishment. I don't know about you guys, but I know this is something that I struggled with for a very, very long time, was condemnation. I would be sitting in a service and having an amazing time with the Lord and just growing in Him in the sense of like realizing, hey, He's here, He's speaking to me. And I would leave the service, no lie, leave out the doors, and all of a sudden it would hit me. Did He really say that? You don't hear from God. You don't know His voice. What are you kidding? Who are you trying to be? I mean, constant. You should have said this. You should have done this. Maybe you should have gone for prayer. You should have gotten prayer because you need prayer. Yeah. Making sense, right? It would be, I would get so frustrated because it would be like face-to-face encounter with God, feel like it, and then walk out the door and be like being angry at myself. That is actually number one. We reject self by three different things. The first one is being angry at yourself. When we make a mistake, there's absolutely no grace. No grace. Right? Get mad. You know that inside where I'm like, if you were another person right now, I'd hit you. But see, if it was another person, there would be more grace. Right? The second one is condemn self for sin. You know, I shared with you last week about how I in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, there will be people who come to me, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name, and I did this in your name, and he would say, get away from me, basically. And how that was like, that would grip my heart. Well, I would always, that's what I would struggle with when I would sin. It would be like, oh man, oh, he's going to reject me. And I was so mad at myself and so down on myself when I made a mistake. And so that made me so afraid to try anything because I didn't want to make a mistake. And so, like, people would even say to me, it's a mistake, or it's, you sinned. I remember this one time. Well, actually, sorry, guys, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm really trying to focus. I would fall into a sin. It was a pattern in my life. A pattern, and man, I would fall into it, and then for like 3 weeks, I was just done. I was just like, I am not going to serve God anymore. Or if I did, it was like, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I did that again. I'm so sorry that I failed you again. And so, like, it took me a really long time to realize that he meant what he said in 1 John 1:9 when he said, let's go to that, actually, because this is something that completely changed my life when I began to study on it. You know, sometimes we think that we understand, this is actually something we learned in this study, we think that we understand the words in this book. There are times we do not understand the words of this book because we don't understand who they're talking to. Okay, John is talking to Christians in this verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is speaking to Christians. He's saying, you know what? If you confess your sins, I'll forgive you. But see, where I was in condemnation, that wasn't enough for me. His forgiveness wasn't enough for me. I felt like, because I was so mad at myself and I was condemning of the sin in my life and I was just rejecting who I was and what, and I didn't measure up. You know, we had talked about how we reach this place where we never feel like we're good enough and we always are pushed, and how the spirit of rejection drives us to make us do more, to receive his love and try to gain his love. But the fact is that fear is just pushing us because we're so afraid that he's going to reject us. So what he required of me in those moments, and what he requires of us, is just confession. Confession. That is why it is so important to understand what grace is. Because I didn't understand. I didn't understand what grace was. So I lived in this thing, this junk of rejection, right? I constantly fought who I was. The third one is we blame ourselves. Oh man. Anything that goes wrong, disagreement, anything that goes wrong, it's my fault. And I may not speak those words, but man, am I beating myself up about it? It's my fault. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe it. We blame ourselves. And many times what comes, the spirit of rejection, is the thoughts like, should, would, if only I would have said this, if only I would have done this. That just builds junk, right? Self-doubt is a fruit of rejection. And you know what I'm saying about that? We doubt everything that we do when we're listening to the lies of rejection. Everything. And it's even causes double-mindedness, where we are afraid to make a decision. Those closest to me sometimes know that I hate to make decisions, and the only reason why is because I'm lazy. I make so many decisions during the day that I'm like, if somebody else can make the decision, I'm good. I'm good. Let someone else make the decision. But there was a time that it was because I was afraid to make the wrong one. Unless I had, like, a word from God and I knew it. See, I had to have, you know, sometimes people are like, yeah, I had confirmation of what I needed to do. I would wait for like 20 or 30 confirmations. Like when I went to Africa, it's so funny, I've never told them this. So I felt like I was supposed to go to Africa, and you know, I had gained a lot of freedom in regards to spirit of rejection, a lot of freedom. God has shown me His grace, and He has shown me that He loved me, and that He showed me that He loved me more than I even loved myself. I mean, think about that. He loves us more than we love ourselves. I think we love ourselves pretty good most of the times. So I told Jesus, I was like, you know, I'll go to Africa. I loved it. I was excited about it. I was like, under one condition. If my dad says it's a good idea, then I'm good. Dad's like basically throwing me a parade to get out of the town. But you know what he said? He's like, I trust you. I trust you. And I was like, I don't even trust myself. But okay. Sometimes the reason why we handle something a certain way is simply immaturity. Have you ever done that? Like you don't understand something, or you misunderstand conversation, and so you just, or even just in Christian life, okay? Let's just be real. In our Christian life, there are things that we do that just reflect our immaturity in the Lord. And when we mess up in those areas, we are so hard on ourselves. God doesn't expect us to be superhero Christians as soon as we get saved and to know everything. I believe that the main influence, one of the main things that the spirit of rejection does, is it backs us up in a corner. It points out all of our flaws, even if they're not really there, right? We believe them. Get us to a place of hating ourselves. Get us to a place where we feel so condemned and guilty, and we don't speak. Because remember I said there would be 3 weeks where I would be like, I don't want to serve Jesus. And I'm talking about when I first started going to Bible school, before I got the revelation of, hey, He loves me. You know, in my life, in my Christian life, I can tell you when I went from a friendship with Jesus, kind of a friendship with Jesus, to a love affair with Jesus. And it was when I got free from the spirit of rejection. I realized that He didn't view me the way that I view myself. He didn't see that junk that I was portrayed. One of the main things I believe that the spirit of rejection does is it finds us in this place. Like I said, it creates this picture in our head and in our heart that we are, we're worthless. We're not enough. We don't do enough. We don't say enough. We don't work enough. And so what that does is it causes depression. It causes isolation. It causes us loneliness. You know, just thoughts of how I had messed up would send me swirling. Send me swirling. I remember this one particular time that I felt like that I had messed up and I had made a rotten decision, and I was struggling, and so I just didn't go to classes one day, and then the next day we had off, and I didn't go to church service or something. I mean, I was just isolating myself. That wall was big around me. My roommates, no, they weren't coming anywhere near me. Then I have a really good friend. We have a really good friend. She was ringing the doorbell and knocking on the door, and I don't know where my roommates were. They were probably there and just ignoring it or something. And I come down and I open the door, and she goes, "Go to your room." "Yes, ma'am." And I knew immediately that she was the hand that was going to help me out of that mess. And because I was so clouded, my judgment was so clouded by everything that I was seeing, that the spirit of rejection had built these lies in my head, in my heart, and I had believed them hook, line, and sinker, and I was not moving. I was okay to be isolated. I was okay to be lonely at that moment. I was okay. I was angry with myself and anyone who came near me, because I knew I'd made a mistake and I didn't want to own up to it, because that's stubbornness. And so I was struggling. But I realized she sat there with me, and all she did was contradict every lie I was believing. And I didn't have to say a word. But you know what she did? She came after me. She came after me because she believed in my freedom. And that's what Jesus has done. Right? He's come after us to bring us freedom. I believe that the spirit of rejection is damaging to who we are, because we will, if you struggle with this spirit, if you struggle with the lies of the enemy, and I believe that all of us have come in contact with it and experienced it, whether it was in junior high when you got dumped by a boy or girl or whatever, we've all experienced it to a degree. I believe that Jesus intends for us to walk in freedom. Let me just name some of the ways that the spirit of rejection tries to come in. We all know the thing that I mentioned: breakups, divorce, abuse, any kind of abuse. Things that don't make logical sense. Remember last week I shared one that it made absolutely no logical sense at all. But that was when it came into my life. I talked about how my mom was going to the store and I wanted to go with her. She was going to get my birthday cake. And so she didn't want me to go, obviously. But it made absolutely no logical sense in my life. Why? I mean, I could logically think, well, of course she didn't want me to go. She was getting my birthday cake. Jesus has set us free from punishment, from condemnation, and from the lies of the enemy. You know, I encouraged you guys last week just to be thinking about what you think about. I think that's the thing too, is like, if you're struggling with depression, if you're wanting to feel isolated and those type of things, what voices are you hearing? It's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not want you to be in that place. I'm going to read Psalms 139, but I'm going to read it in the Passion. So I want you guys just to listen. I'm not going to read the whole thing unless I get started and then just decide to. This psalm is one that I would constantly say over and over to myself to help me when I would hear those voices, hear those lies of the enemy that says that I wasn't enough or that God thought negative thoughts about me. That's a huge deal. You know, I feel like this is one of those things that Christians do not talk about. The spirit of rejection. And all of us encounter this. In order to do anything for His kingdom, we have got to maintain a freedom in this spirit. I'm going to start in verse 13. "You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me, before I'd ever seen the light of day. The number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you're thinking of me. Every single moment you're thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your thought. In your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still thinking of me." Just the fact that God has good thoughts about us. Good thoughts. Not the thoughts that I have sometimes. Good thoughts. You know, most of us know this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Just if we think those things, we need the thoughts of the Lord towards us. Even when we mess up, the word says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive us. And that's it. We don't have to beat ourselves up for a couple hours just to make Him feel better. It doesn't make Him feel better. It doesn't make Him feel better. And it doesn't make me feel better. It doesn't put me in a position to receive anything from Him if I'm beating myself up, if I'm rejecting myself. Self-rejection is a dangerous thing when we try to love someone else. It's impossible to receive love or give love if we're operating out of the spirit of rejection. That is the reason why I believe that the Lord wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to receive His love and to give it. We can't. So, next week, we're going to talk about how we operate with other people and listen to the lies of the enemy with others. Because sometimes if someone is living in the lies and living in the spirit of rejection, it is impossible to reach their heart. It only takes a move of God to do that. It is so hard. It doesn't matter if you run around in circles, stand on your head. It doesn't matter. Because they're waiting for you to reject them. You can prove all day long that you love them. But you know what? I believe that as the Lord is freeing us and showing us the lies of the enemy in our own lives, that He is going to give us strategy on how to reach people that struggle with the spirit. It is not just Think about this. You know where you came from. Someone were to walk in that door that looked like you did 20 years ago or however long ago it was, you would know what they struggled with, and you would know how to speak to them. But across the board, I believe that Jesus doesn't just, the Holy Ghost doesn't just give some things to some people, but he gives us all things. So if you would, just stand with me and let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you don't reject us, Lord, that your word says that we are accepted in the Beloved. I thank you, God, that your thoughts towards us are so good. I thank you, Jesus, that even on our bad days, or what we consider bad days, Lord, I thank you, God, that you are still thinking good. I thank you, God, that we get to come into more understanding of who you are. God, I thank you for each person here, Lord. I ask you, God, just to reveal to us the lies that we buy, the lies that we believe, the lies, God, that may guide us. Lord Jesus, whatever it may be, God, I believe that you're bringing us into a level of maturity and freedom, God, so that, Jesus, we can walk in wholeness and that we can walk in a place where we've not never walked before, Jesus. God, I pray that every heart, Lord, that may be even hardened to this subject, God, I pray that you just shine your light, God. God, I know that this stuff is, it hurts sometimes, Lord, when we remember things, God, that hurt us through the years. But Jesus, I thank you for your oil that heals us. God, bless each person here. God, I thank you for your goodness and that you love us so big. Continue to reveal that to us, Lord. Continue to show yourself to us, God, as we respond with faithfulness and love. In Jesus' name, amen.